America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much for having me back on, Jeremy.
Well, it's in your contract.
Right.
Can't get rid of you.
At least to the end of the year.
You push all the buttons on the laptop.
Yeah.
That makes all this happen here.
You do. You need me. All right. So last week on Campground of the Week, we did a review of the Holiday Park Campground in Traverse City, Michigan. And we're not out of Michigan yet, folks. So before we do our campground this week, we want to tell you that Campground of the Week is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out there seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV to learn more.
We've been seeing the sights.
Yes, we have. We've seen a lot of sights, and we've seen a lot of sites in Michigan. Like I mentioned, last week we reviewed Holiday Park Campground in Traverse City, Michigan. Now, we are not going that far away this week. We kind of did a little bit of a two-step.
It's a one-two punch.
Yeah.
Two-step. And I have to say, our one-two punch from Holiday Park Campground to the Platte River Campground in Sleeping Bear Dunes, I think makes for an epic RV trip. And I really recommend that some people out there consider doing that same kind of one-two step.
Right. And the reason why we did this, and we've done this before, if you listened to our podcast episodes on Acadia National Park earlier this summer, you know that we stayed at a private campground near one part of Acadia National Park, the KOA. And then we went a little further away to the Scudic Peninsula and stayed at a national park campground around there, because we really do feel sometimes like it's worth it to stay at a couple of campgrounds in the same area. We also did this in the White Mountains one time, for those of you that have listened to our White Mountain Adventure Guide.
Now, we really also wanted to fully explore Traverse City and fully explore Sleeping Bear Dunes. So we were a total of 10 or 11 days in this 1-2 punch, this Holiday Park to Platte River combo that we did. We didn't really want to be driving back and forth between the two. Now, you could plan a one-week trip, stay at either place, and do both. I mean, they are about half an hour apart. So from Sleeping Bear Dunes to Traverse City, it's just a half an hour drive, right? 25
yes.
minutes even.
It's an easy drive. So that's really my point here, is that I would say that this is a paired episode, but it's actually in triplicate, okay? Like, or it's a try.
Sort triple of, play.
A suite.
Hat trick.
Okay. We should have thought of a name
on
for that.
Yeah, so look at last week's Campground of the Week for Holiday Park Campground. Then we have this week's Campground of the Week, which is the Platte River Campground. And then also on RVFTA this week, which comes out Friday morning, we're doing the whole episode on Sleeping Bear Dunes. All right.
Right. So that's episode 103 of the RVFTA podcast. So all three of those podcasts together will give you really a ton of information if you're looking to visit the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
Right. And now before we dive into the campground review, I think we need to say happy birthday, NPS. Okay.
Yes.
This episode of Campground of the Week is coming out on the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. So happy birthday, National Parks. You belong to us, National Parks. So let's all celebrate that together. And we're so thrilled to be reviewing a National Park Service campground on this week's episode.
Yeah, we really wanted to focus a lot on our national parks this summer, and we did, between the national parks, the national seashores, the national historic sites, and now we got to a national lakeshore, and we were so happy that we did. We just had a wonderful time here at the Platte River Campground. Now, I want to dive in to the geography of where we are when we're talking about the Platte River Campground. Okay, so this is a national park campground inside of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
And it's in the southern district of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. There's a southern district and a northern district, and we'll get into that a bit more on the RVFTA podcast this week.
Okay, so a lot of people call Michigan the mitten. I explained last week how people in Michigan will hold up their right hand and they'll, you know, show you where they are on their hand. Okay, so the right hand, if you picture it, along the base of the hand is your Ohio and Indiana border. Around the bottom of your thumb is your Detroit area. Well, the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore is all the way up along the tippity top of your pinky finger if you're holding up that right hand, okay? So it is all the way to the west and pretty much as far north as you can go on that pinky finger. Not as far north as you can go in Michigan because you could, you know, go way up into the UP or the Upper Peninsula. But it is in that pinky finger area, okay? So it is about 30 miles to the west of Traverse City.
Yeah, and it's about, the campground itself is 10 miles south of Empire, and it's in Honor, Michigan, and it's about a 1 mile walk or bike ride or drive to Lake Michigan from the actual campground.
And you mentioned that it's 10 miles south of Empire, which is often considered the gateway.
The Southern District and the Northern District. Empire is a really cute, charming little town, but it is a little town.
Yeah, but the main visitor center is there. So it's really like sort of the hub of entry into the national park.
Right.
People go there and then they shoot off north to see the sites or they go south, you know, to visit the sites down in the Southern District.
All right,
as well.
So now that we know where we are, should we zoom in and really give a great review of the Platte River Campground, which we just loved and adored? And this is a campground that people have loved and adored for generations. I met a guy in his 60s who said he used to camp there before it was an NPS campground, when it was a state park campground, with his parents. So this is a real Michigan favorite. It's a regional favorite, and it really truly is one of the great NPS campgrounds in the country.
All right, so let's talk about first the setup of the campground. Okay, how is it organized?
So there are four loops. Okay, loop one, loop two, loop three, and loop four. And then there's a walk-in tent camping area. All right. Now, the different loops all have back-in sites for RVs or tents. And then there are also some pull-off or what they call pull-through sites. But Stephanie and I call them pull-off sites. And they're rather large loops. It is a rather large campground. When you first pull in, there's a ranger station to the right and an amphitheater to the right. And then you drive past those and you can turn right to get into loop one or turn left to get into loop one, two, and three.
Yeah, two, three, or four. If you
I'm an English teacher, so the numbers. I was getting high on the numbers.
Right, left, and numbers.
Once I get past three,
gets a little tricky.
I almost had to go onto my second hand there, so I'm confused.
All right,
right. So those four major loops.
Yeah, and within those loops, there are quite a few campsites. You have about 30 to 40 campsites within each loop.
Yeah, and it's a large campground. But each loop is almost like its own small campground. They are pretty separate. You have to actually leave the loop, go out onto the road, and like ride your bike or walk to get into another loop. I mean, there are some cut throughs between sites if no one's on the site, but they're not like sort of like paths that they're encouraging you to walk on.
Right. So, and the space between the different campsites is actually pretty large. So even though you kind of do get a sense that there's a lot of people there, it feels in a way like a bustling campground, because it really is very full.
Right, but the space between sites is huge.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
huge.
A lot of privacy to these sites, almost all of the sites. There's the rare site that's not that way, but we did get to meet a lot of people at the campground, because like you said, there's just like a lot of people walking around and milling around, even though you're not really looking at your neighbor at all.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there's a reason why everybody's walking around and milling around. Everybody's going to the bathhouse.
Right, because you have electric. Okay, so if you're going to camp at the Platte River Campground, there are some sites that have no service, right? More for mm-hmm. the tent campers. But even if you're RVing, you might end up on a site with no service. But then there are sites with 30 amp. I think they also had 50 amp, right? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I think they had 30 and 50 amp electric service, no water, no sewer, right? So pretty much everyone's using the showers, everyone's washing dishes at the bathhouses, and the bathhouses are sort of a hub of activity.
They are, and they are located right smack dab in the middle of each loop, okay? So they're conveniently located, and make sure that when you're looking at a campground map and you're thinking about which site you want, you do check out where that bathhouse is and whether you want to be in close proximity or not.
And we were next to a bathhouse, and I didn't have that many choices because getting a site here is really, really hard. I had like maybe two choices when I reserved this. So we were right next to the bathhouse, but still, the sites are so private. It was like a little walk through the woods to the bathhouse. It didn't bother us to have it there. In fact, I ended up really liking having the bathhouse so close because the boys could run to the bathroom during the day. We allowed them to use the bathroom at night for emergencies in the RV. And then also it was easy to go wash dishes. And I do want to retract, I don't think they had 50 amp service.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that anywhere. But I do agree, it was, even though I felt a little like, oh, we're right there at the bathhouse when we first pulled in, it ended up really to be a blessing, especially with three small children, to be able to see them walk to the bathroom and walk out of the bathroom right back to the RV. It really worked for us.
It worked great for us because, like Stephanie said, we did not have to walk to the bathroom with them. They were within earshot to run to the bathroom, and we did not allow them to use the toilets in the RV at all during the day. They were just allowed to use it after dark and when we were in the camper for the night.
All right. So you made a nod to the booking issue, but let's kind of dive in and talk about that a little more extensively.
Well, I've been putting up pictures of the Platte River Campground on our Instagram account, and at least one or two people commented and said, oh, lucky for you, you got a site. We tried for days and couldn't get a site. It's famously difficult to get a site at the Platte River Campground because it's a beautiful campground. It's really cheap, which we'll talk about in a second, and everyone wants to get in here. There's not that many options in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. Like, this is kind of the option, particularly if you have an RV. So I booked 6 months in advance, I believe through Reserve America, and that's when the sites open up.
9 in
the morning. I mean, at 8:59 and 48 seconds, I hit the button, you know, and a site popped up, and I nabbed it. So that you can book 6 months in advance. That's the earliest in advance you are allowed to book, and you kind of have to. So you need to be planning well in advance to get a site at the Platte River Campground. They do have some sites that they are not reservable. So if you live close by or you're in Michigan, you might be able to nab one. But if you're traveling from any distance, you need to book this 6 months in advance. There's
right.
No way around it.
And I want to emphasize that there are some national park campgrounds that are famously difficult to reserve. There are state park campgrounds that are famously difficult to reserve. But what you have to do is you have to call ahead and ask somebody exactly when that booking window will open up, because knowing that it's 6 months ahead, some people assume that that's at midnight. That's actually not the case. We actually had this experience with a recent state park that we were trying to book. We thought it would be midnight. It wasn't. It was 9 o'clock the next morning.
But it's different. You know, if you're doing a national park or a state park or a county park, it can be different. So it's really good to really know for sure when it opens up, and you might need to make the phone call to do that. It's sort of an art reserving these sites that we're just starting to get good at.
But my further point to that is, if you think it's 6 months in advance and you just go on that evening, you know, you might say,
oh, sites are gone.
Right, they're gone. So if it is something that's important to you, put it in your calendar as an alert for when that site books. And then what you do is you hit the refresh button. I mean, now we've done this 3 times, and in the 3 times we did it at famously difficult, you know, places. If we were hitting the refresh at that time, an available campsite.
Yeah, and you can see the sites that will be open, mm-hmm. from what I remember. You can go in and see, okay, there's 3 that are going to open up. And I'm pretty sure the morning I booked, there were like 3 or 4 sites that were going to open up. And someone had told me that the outer loop sites were nicer than the inner loop sites. So I had zoned in on getting an outer loop site. Gone. Couldn't get it, even though I went right on at 9. I got an inner loop site. And it ended up to me that I don't really think that they were nicer, the outer loop sites. But it's difficult to get reservations at these types of campgrounds.
It is. But then at the same time, I just feel like sometimes, I don't want to, you know, overstate this, but I feel like it's sometimes overplayed a little bit by people, because we were sitting there talking to someone who said he comes back every year. And there's a lot of people within that campground that do. So I feel like once you just know what to do, and you're willing to take the site that pops up as open exactly
well,
6 months in advance.
If you have one set week of vacation, though, I think it could be really hard to book a site.
Right.
If you're just like, well, I'm going to get a week's vacation, I'm going to do a week at Platte River this summer, and you're retired or you're a teacher like you know I am or whatever, and you have flexibility, you can keep banging around and trying different days, yeah, you'll get a site. But I think if you are trying to zoom in on a particular day for that week you have off, it could be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. If you have no flexibility, then it makes it
challenging. So why don't we talk about those sites in particular?
First, tell people how much they cost.
$22 a night for an electric site, mm-hmm. which is an incredible, incredible value. I mean, it almost seems ridiculous.
We were there
so,
5 nights?
We did 6 nights there at $22 a night, and it really is one of the most beautiful, beautiful locations I've ever been to anywhere. And the campground's awesome. I mean, it's an older campground, right? It's not like a new modern campground by any stretch of the imagination, but it feels like a gift from above that you can camp here in your RV with electricity, running your air conditioning if you want, for only $22 a night.
All right, now you can go into site details.
Site details. The sites have a lot of space in between them, similar to Scudic Woods, would you say, in Maine?
They're not long and
they're
like,
not as
wide.
Long.
To me, most of them, what they have is like, so you back into them and then they have the space for all of your stuff and your setup behind
that
your RV.
That was kind of cool. That was unusual. And that was many of the sites, mm-hmm. if not most, right? So Stephanie makes a great point. You had these sites you'd back into, and the back-end sites are really nice. They're really private. They're beautiful.
A nice pad, a nice
concrete
asphalt pad that you're
and
backing up
And then some
onto.
Of the sites, it was almost like then there was like a little cut through the woods to your mm-hmm. actual opening area where you had your picnic table and your fire pit.
Yep.
So some of the sites are almost like two-part sites.
Yep. You got to like walk a little path up, and then you'd have a tiered out spot with your picnic table.
Yeah, almost like
and your
a little raised above mm-hmm. the grade. Now, that wasn't every site.
Right.
Now, I could sit here and say, oh, you should get site 302 or you should get site 206. You just got to take what site you can get. So it's not like we went around and penciled in the nicest ones. But I would say this. The back-end sites we found to be significantly nicer than the pull-through sites. The pull-through sites are like pull-offs where you pull in and then you pull off onto the same road, and they just don't go that deep into the woods. So those RVs that had the pull-through sites were literally like kind of sitting right out there on the road, and they weren't very private. They were kind of exposed.
Now, another thing about those pull-off sites is that they were in Loop 1, which, you know, on a pro note for Loop 1, it did have direct access to the amphitheater and to the ranger station. So you kind of cut through right there without kind of going out on the road like we had to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. So my favorite loops were Loop 2 and 3 in terms of how nice the RV sites were. But Loop 1 does have that advantage. It has a direct path to the amphitheater and the ranger station, where the three other loops, you have to go out onto a road and either walk or ride your bike on that road to the amphitheater or ranger station, or ride into Loop 1 and then take the path. And I was riding the bikes with the boys a lot, going to these amphitheater programs. It's not like there's traffic out on the road, but there are certainly cars going by out on that road. And it was kind of like, all right, boys, be careful. We're going to the amphitheater. Where if we were in Loop 1, it wouldn't have been a concern at all.
Right. And then also, it is a little more bustling, I felt like, in Loop 1. There's more sites. It's bigger. The way that they're kind of set up with those pull-offs, I just kind of felt like it was a busier
and I think
loop.
The sites were smaller.
Okay.
I just in
more
general,
jammed in a
yeah, Loop
bit more.
1 seems to have more sites. There's more going on. There's like a whole cut through in the middle of it with that. It's almost like two loops. That's the thing with Loop 1. It's almost like a figure eight to some degree. So if you can get Loop 2 or Loop 3, I think they're preferable.
All right. So do you want to move on to any of your insider details?
Insider details. Stephanie already mentioned, if you have little kids, you're going to want to be close to that bathroom. All right. We also just mentioned the pull-off sites are not necessarily our favorite. Also, bring tubes. Bring tubes. This is the Platte River Campground. The dominant, beautiful national park feature right there is the Platte River, which you can walk to from the campground, and you can tube not right direct. Well, you could. You could tube right from the campground or a little ways up the road all the way out to Lake Michigan. You can literally end up in Lake Michigan. And there are people, there are companies, concessions that will rent tubes and rent canoes and rent kayaks, and you can walk to them right from the campground. But why bother? Buy some cheap tubes and bring them with you, and you will have a blast at this campground. This is one of the major reasons people love this campground, because of the access to the crystal clear Platte River.
I would say make sure that you fill your freshwater tanks before you go.
Oh, we didn't do that.
We didn't. So I would definitely suggest doing that. They do have water available at the spigot, and we were able to fill. But I would just say before you head out, just fill your freshwater tank so that you at least have that backup.
It was a rookie mistake on my part. I thought we were getting a water electric site.
Right.
I mean, I booked it 6 months ago. I don't know why I even thought that, but it was just in my head that we were getting water electric. They're not water electric sites. So we have two twin boys who are 7 years old named Max and Theo. We gave them each a water jug and had them run circuits to the potable water and bring it back. And we filled up our fresh water tank.
Yeah, and anytime anybody used water, they had to go get a jug and refill. That was
if
the rule.
Somebody did like a number two during the day and broke.
Stop.
I know, I'm sorry. But we had a couple times where the boys broke the rule. And we said, hey, take the jug, go fill it up with water, pour it in the RV, make up for the water you just used. So I think those would be some good insider tips.
Yeah. So, all right. And what about Nobody's Perfect?
Now, you kind of laugh at me when I bring this one up.
Okay? No, I think it's valid.
I'm not trying to be the hero that washed the dishes every night, because I didn't wash the dishes every night.
No.
And I got in trouble for not washing the dishes on a couple nights. But I did wash the dishes at least 3 of the 6 nights. Now, you're supposed to, there's a camp sink, and it's in a little room, and you're supposed to close and lock the door because there's bears at the campground, and they don't want you washing dishes outside or having the door open.
Well, if you are washing dishes in the dishwashing room, you're using dishes that smell like food. So if that were to attract a bear, and a bear were to come, and
you're trapped, you're stuck.
Yeah, that's a
there's nowhere to go.
Problem.
Now this, I've said this before on Campground of the Week. It feels sacrilegious to even complain about these national park campgrounds that cost $22 a night that are so Spartan. But the room to wash the sinks, there's no table. The sink is really low. So you have to kind of hunch over to wash the dishes. So my back would hurt by the time I was done. And it was a relatively big room. Relatively big, like the size of an RV master bedroom big. And there just should have been a table in there. I almost left our table there. I almost wanted to just like leave our table as a gift to the campground, just so you could put the dishes down on the table and then wash them. I had to put our dishes down on the floor in
right.
the little dish holder thing. So just put a table in there for goodness sake and make it a little bit more comfortable to wash the dishes. And look, it would cost them $20 or $30 to do that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've been pretty spoiled with the fact that we upgraded pretty quickly to a travel trailer and we do a lot of hookup camping. So you're not used to the whole dish washing routine at the dish house. Like I grew up in any camping that we ever did, you always had to bring
when
the dishes.
When we were dating, I went camping with you and your family. And, you know, you wash the dishes every night after mealtime.
After the mealtime, you go over, you do it. And so you've been a little bit spoiled then. I said, hey, if you want to be in these beautiful national parks, this is part of it, buddy. Shake a tail feather.
And I got to tell you, at Skudik Woods Campground earlier this summer, I enjoyed washing the dishes. It was nice there. It was, like, set up very nicely. It was outside. It was beautiful.
Yeah, you weren't in this, like, room shut
in. Oh, and it's hot in this room, too. That's the other thing.
True.
Everyone emerges, like, all sweaty and gross, like, oh, it's hot in there, you know? So, this is an amazing campground. And when we come back in the second half to talk about how beautiful it is around there, I almost feel like a jerk mentioning it. But hey, if they could stick a table in there, that would be nice. So
Well, I'll get to that, but I didn't mention the bathhouses. And I do want to say that as much as the dishwashing station needs a little bit of TLC, the bathhouses were actually very clean. And the showers had great hot water and great water pressure.
And they had a nice table in there, a nice bench in there to put all your clothes. I took all three of the boys up there, and there were enough hooks and the table for everyone to lay out their clean clothes and their wet clothes and all that stuff and take care of business.
And they had a fantastic time using the bathhouses.
The boys?
They
oh,
loved
my gosh.
It.
These boys have been raised taking showers and baths in the RV. They looked at it as this fun little adventure to all go take showers together, all the boys, at the campground.
Yeah, they had fun. So that worked out well.
Maybe we'll have to take them out on a tent camping trip.
Well, I've been fighting for them to use the bathhouses more for about 2 years now. I'm like, let's get them out of the camper a little bit more. Let's use the bathhouses. And I've gotten serious resistance. But it was just like they didn't really get it, or they had bad memories maybe because they were little when I was showering them in the bathhouse and they didn't really like the showering at that point. But now it was like they were into it and they were like, oh, let's go to the bathhouse.
They loved the water pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you just don't,
and
the hot water. Like, you just don't get that same type of shower here in the RV.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was great. So I was really happy about that.
So now you're nobody's perfect, which I'm going to give you a hard time about this, but go ahead.
No, it's important information and it fits well here. So here's the thing. I'm not actually blaming the National Park Service for this. But I do think people need to be prepared that the mosquitoes at this campground I found to be really difficult to deal with.
And ironically, I overheard one of the rangers talking to another camper and saying that the mosquitoes weren't that bad at all this summer because it had been a very dry summer.
Yeah.
So I don't think they were that bad while we were there, but they were still bad to us.
They were swarming and I had bites on my ankles.
We had some rain when we were there too. So
yeah.
We had some water around, some, you know. But listen, for Nobody's Perfect, we normally pick something that can be easily changed within reason. This is more just kind of passing on that information to people.
Like,
if you're highly sensitive to like mosquito bites, you know, this might not be the place. This is woodsy camping.
Just be prepared. I say be prepared, like with the proper clothing, with some bug spray that you're comfortable using that's not scented in a way that's going to attract bears. It's just tricky, you know.
And now fall, you wouldn't have to deal with that in the fall, right? And the Platte River Campground's open year round.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think fall would be awesome at this campground.
Right. So just be prepared for that. That's why I want to say that, because to me it was something to sort of abide.
We got so friendly with our next door neighbor, Mike, who gave us great tips all week, and he camps every fall there as well. I mean, he loves Platte River Campground, and he said that the salmon run so thick in the Platte River in the fall that like when you kayak through them, they practically make a wake as they swim around you.
Yeah, well, we're definitely coming back, so it'll be fun to see it. If we see it at another time of the year, that's even better. So, all right, well, that is our review of the Platte River Campground in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, Michigan. All right. We're about 30 miles outside of Traverse City, Michigan. And we are going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about all of the things to do right around the campground.
And not all of them, because right. We're doing that separate episode of RV Family Travel Atlas where we're going to cover Sleeping Bear Dunes extensively. But we're going to give you some of the things immediately around the campground and some options for food. And it's so important to stay tuned and listen to this stuff, because what makes this campground great is all the wonderful things that are right around it.
All right, back in a minute.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you a great review of the Platte River Campground in Michigan, which is truly one of the most beautiful campgrounds in the United States, and certainly one of the most beautiful campgrounds in Michigan and in the Midwest. And now we want to talk about some of the things to do around the campground and some options for food. But we first really want to remind you that this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, episode 103, is sort of a corresponding episode to this campground review, and we're going to spend the full hour going over Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, which is one of the most magnificent and beautiful locations in America. So right now, we just want to give you a couple of things that are very close to the campground, some things to do in the campground, and then some food options. So let's start by talking about the Platte River itself, right? I mean, the Platte River is walking distance from the campground, and if you go to Platte Point, you can get canoe rentals, kayak rentals, and tube rentals.
There are many outfitters right there by the campground. You are not going to have to look far to find whatever you want to rent. They all drop you off down at the Platte River Point. They all pick you up there. You know, it's not difficult right outside the campground to find what you
want. Yeah, so you can walk from your site to go rent a canoe, rent a kayak, rent tubes. You can rent a canoe and tie your kids on to the canoe with tubes, and they can you can paddle them in their tubes. And then once you
I would say attach.
Attach.
Not tie them.
And once you get out to Lake Michigan into the gorgeous little point out there, they will just, they'll ferry you right back. Or you can do what we did. We did not use a concession. We brought our own tubes, and it worked out really, really well. Initially, I was like a little bit nervous because I didn't know where to go or where to get in or how it would all work. Let me tell you how we tubed the Platte River. All right, so we brought our own tubes, and we drove from the campground, just a short little drive, to this parking lot that has a sign that says El Dorado. It's like the El Dorado section of the park. And there's a canoe kayak tube launch right there. Now, from that point, we had like over an hour tube ride out to Lake Michigan. And it is beautiful. The water is crystal clear. It's only 3 to 4 feet deep, so it's very shallow, even shallower in places.
Yeah, shallow enough for mom to get out of the tube and pull her two children.
Well, they got stuck a few times. It's very gentle. It's very shallow. It's very clear. It's incredibly family friendly. I mean, if you go at a busy time, you're going to see dozens and dozens of families tubing. It has to be one of the most magnificent things you can do in one of our national parks in the country as a family. And it has to be one of the coolest things that you can do right next to a campground anywhere.
Well, and the nice part about it is because the river is so twisty and turny, the way that it goes, you do get a full hour of tubing and you drop off at the Platte River Point, but then it's a quick jaunt back.
So you guys all hung out. And I ran back. I didn't really run. I jogged back to the car about half a mile away. So you get that hour-long tube ride, and you don't need someone to shuttle you back. You can walk right back to that El Dorado parking lot. It worked out perfectly. And how beautiful is it out there where the Platte River meets Lake Michigan?
Sure, and that's another place for you to go for the beach day, too. I mean, we went to a lot of beaches in Sleeping Bear Dune Lakeshore, but that was one of our favorites. The very first night that we were there, we headed right down to the Platte River Point, and we spent some time just tubing around in the little sandbar area, you know,
swimming, wading. You can practically wade right out into Lake Michigan.
Well, yeah, you can. I mean, you can go right there. It connects right there and goes out, so it's a really nice little area to hang out, even for the day. There's a separate sort of picnic area if you want a picnic, if you want to grill. There's all of that in one area, too, along with the beach, so it's a nice area. You definitely want to go down there and spend some time there.
And it's
no dogs.
And thank you. Good point. And it's amazing to be in the warm water of the Platte River tubing along or wading along, and then eventually it connects with Lake Michigan, and you roll out into the cooler water of Lake Michigan, the magnificent beauty of Lake Michigan. It's really one of the prettiest places we've ever been to in our 7 years of RV travel.
All right. What else do you want to talk about?
Now, there's a great bike ride. Okay. So at the back of the loops, at any of the loops, you get on the railroad grade trail, and then you get on Peterson Road. Actually, you're not supposed to get on the railroad grade trail
with bikes. You can hike if you want.
You can hike it. Or there's a little spur that crosses over it. And you want to get on Peterson Road. It's an unpaved road, but it's shady. It's really pretty. It's a nice bike ride. It's not steep at all. I did it with Max and Theo, and Wes was on the seat behind me on the bike. And it's a 1 mile bike ride to Lake Michigan. It's just like a real pretty, relaxing bike ride. And then again, just like that Platte River, you emerge to the magnificence of Lake Michigan. There's a nice little beach there, crystal clear water. And I went up there with the boys one day, rode our bikes, did a bunch of swimming, had some snacks, sat on towels, and then took that bike ride right back to our campsite. It would be easy to miss that. It's not super marked, or you don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but it's definitely a really nice activity to combo that bike ride, get nice and hot, hop in, go for a swim in Lake Michigan, come right back to your campsite.
And dogs are allowed on that beach and on that path. So that's,
yes,
you know, a good option from the campground if you want to hike with your dogs out to the beach at night. It's just a 1 mile hike, super friendly for kids and pets.
In general, the campground in Sleeping Bear Dunes is very dog friendly. There are some places you can't go with dogs, but plenty of places that you can go with dogs.
They're very clearly mapped. So marked, and that's what we really appreciated, was that it was easy for us to find out where we could take Maggie and where she wasn't allowed to go. All right, so now the boys were just as wild about the amphitheater programs at this campground as they had been at the Scudic Woods? You know,
Scudic Woods, the ranger programs were so good. I have to say here, they were even just a step better. Just the topics were fascinating. The rangers were really dynamic and hands-on and engaged. So the schedule for when we were there, they did a program on stargazing called Starry, Starry Night. We missed that one, right? They did one called Glaciers to Dunes, and it's basically explaining how Sleeping Bear Dunes became Sleeping Bear Dunes. And for those of you that don't know, there are these 400-foot-tall dunes that just dramatically rise right out of Lake Michigan, and they provide some of the most amazing water views in America. Then the first one we did go to was Sleeping Bear's Magnificent Mustelids. All right, I'm going to read the little description here. From badgers to otters, the weasel family comes in all shapes and sizes. Discover our mustelid residents and the part they play in our ecosystem. So this was Ranger Stephanie, and this whole hour-long program was on weasels. The boys flipped their lids for this one. They loved it. They were laughing. It was funny. She had multimedia. She had funny weasel clips of weasel dancing. And all.
They're still talking about weasels. So that night, at one point, like, the kids were going to bed, and you said something like, totally straight-faced, you were like, I can't believe how interesting weasels are. And I was drinking seltzer at the time, and it, like, I shot it out of my nose, and my nose burned for, like, an hour.
I did not have high expectations for this weasel program. And the ranger was just the point. The ranger knew her weasels. And she went through, like, the whole, like, how did the weasel, like, calling someone a weasel become a derogatory thing? What is it about these animals that we associate with sneakiness and creepiness? And it was fascinating. And I'm a teacher.
She put on a good show. Did she, like, put weasel heads on something else, like on another picture? Did she do some photoshopping?
There were some funny photos of, like, weasel heads on a human body. There's those little things where, like, 7-year-old boys just flip out laughing. You know, like, they just connected with Ranger Stephanie's sense of humor. You know, we were, like, there was, like, 8 people there. So Ranger Stephanie talked and interacted with the boys a lot. And I have to say, my boys are not perfect. My boys can be naughty. They are so good at ranger programs. They always make me so proud at ranger programs.
Because they're interested.
They're fascinated.
They're totally
engaged.
She was good.
And this was one of the first ranger programs I've seen where, like, the multimedia presentation was just really, really sharp and fun and integrated all kinds of great clips and everything. And a lot of great weasel photography. Like, seriously, there are weasel photographers out there that take pictures. There was a photo of a weasel clinging to the back of a bird and flying through the air. The weasel had jumped on the bird. What kind of bird was it?
Honey, I don't know, but we need to move on from the weasel.
The weasel. The next night, there was a program on the Century Storm. There was a massive storm last summer that destroyed parts of Sleeping Bear Dunes. We missed that one, sadly. But then we did go to 100 Years of the National Park Service with Ranger Danielle. And she did this nice history where she focused on major players. So she focused on John Muir, Teddy Roosevelt, a few other people. She did a whole section on female rangers, which was really, really, I thought, really excellent and interesting, like how the struggle for women to become rangers and become fully integrated into the NPS.
The subtext of their uniforms throughout the years. She really paid a lot
really
of
well
attention
done.
To that. That was good.
And Ranger Danielle gave me a peek of, I think, where the National Park Service is going and what the next generation of rangers are going to look like. Because she invited all of us to an Insta-meet, which is a meetup for photographers and Instagrammers. It was going to be on the Pyramid Point hike. So they're all going to hike out to Lake Michigan, do photography together, share the photos on social media. And it was after we were leaving. And I was so disappointed because I was like, man, I would love to do this. And I thought, what a cool idea to do an Insta-meet with park rangers and to do the hike with them and have them take you out to a glorious place for photography. So I think we're going to see more of those types of things in our national parks. And we might have some listeners out there who are, like, cynical about that type of thing. But I think it's great because it gets people engaged. If you can get people wanting to photograph the national parks, they're going to want to care for our national parks, right?
Yeah. So then also after that, there was one other one that we saw.
What are those? So the program is called Water Those. That's a pun. Lake Michigan is under siege and it needs your help. Explore the aquatic invasive species of Sleeping Bear Dunes and the impacts they have on their ecosystem. Now, the poor ranger who did this program could not get into the the little shack that has all the multimedia equipment. So there was no multimedia presentation because there was a hornet's nest in it and they had like locked the doors on him. So he had to do the whole presentation without his multimedia, but boy, did he do a great job. And it was a ranger hired for 6 months to really research some of the water issues, the water quality issues on Lake Michigan. So this program was a real eye opener because I had been blown away all week long by, would you say, turquoise waters mm-hmm. of Lake Michigan?
Very Caribbean looking.
Honestly, they look like pictures from the Caribbean. It's amazing. And I was just spellbound by it, taking photos of it. And then this ranger steps up and points out, that's not really necessarily a good thing. I mean, the waters of Lake Michigan have been fished out. There's not much life there.
It's like a desert, which has happened in Maine, too. We were familiar with that story from learning about the Maine coastal waters that were, you know, basically fished out
centuries ago. And so that creates this incredible water clarity because there's like no algae, I guess, in there. But he was almost kind of like, you know, slightly poking fun at everyone taking these beautiful pictures of the turquoise waters and raving about how gorgeous it is when he's like, that's not a healthy ecosystem for our
waters.
But it's
nice to swim in.
Oh, the swimming in Lake Michigan.
The water is
crystal clear. It's like pouring water into a bath. It's like you can see right to the bottom and see every rock on the bottom. It is just astonishing. So that was the flip side to that, is that there are, of course, issues in Lake Michigan with it being overfished and there not being life in there.
So, I think the point in us kind of going through these different ranger programs and talking about how engaged we were in learning about the environment that we were in is, I mean, it's twofold. First of all, this is something that you get at national park campgrounds that you do not get anywhere else. And that's a really important thing that they're providing there. And it's really, you know, if you haven't experienced that, experience it and see what you think about it and see what your kids think about it.
And after one of the programs, I said thank you to the ranger and I said, the weasel one, you know, I said, thank you. That was just an awesome program. My kids loved it. I loved it. And she's like, well, if you could you fill out a comment card or drop somebody an email? Because there's lots of talk about these ranger programs being cut and that they're old fashioned. And I just smacked my hand to my head and I was like, man, this is one of my favorite parts about camping in the national parks. These ranger-led programs, it would break my heart to see them go away. And then I always start thinking about the economics of the whole thing. Like, I'm spending $22 a night to camp here, and I'm getting these amazing programs every night. Charge me more, man. I'll pay a little bit more to get these programs if they don't have the funding for them. It breaks the whole system is just the way the system's funded. There's just something that needs to be fixed there.
And then the second, you know, part of I think the importance of that of these is that, you know, adult education is a huge industry out there, and people spend so much money, and we have to go through so much work once we're out of college to do any adult education. And if we're interested in something, you know, you have to sign up for something, you have to pay a fee and everything. Really, you could stay in a national park for a week and get like a little mini adult education college course in, you know, ecology and geology and all in biology by just going to these ranger talks, you know, systematically throughout the week.
We did 10 of these talks this summer. And everyone was awesome. Every ranger was so articulate, well-educated, knowledgeable, fun, and friendly. It was a magical part of our summer travel.
Yeah, so if it's something that isn't a priority for you when you visit national parks, because remember, you can do these even if you're not camping there. It's just more convenient if you're camping there. But if this is not something that goes to the top of your list when you're planning your trip to a national park, maybe rethink that, because we really have gotten a tremendous amount out of making that a priority this summer with our kids, and they love it, and we love it. So we've all learned something.
Absolutely. Now, another thing we learned about Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, there's not a lot of dining options. There's not a lot of food options in the area. I mean, at one point, Stephanie, you said, like, it is a wild place. It is a remote place, and that's magnificent. So I'm not complaining about it, but we did find some good food options nearby the campground.
Don't get us wrong. If you want to hear about food options in Traverse City, there are a million of great options. Listen to our holiday park campground episode. And then also, we're going to give some other options in Glen Arbor on our Sleeping Bear Dunes podcast.
Right. So Glen Arbor, yes, lots of good food options there. Right. You want to take a little bit of a drive.
Right in the area of the campground and Empire.
But Empire had some good stuff. If you want to go out and have a nice meal out, you know, escape the campground, you can. So the first place we went to was Joe's Friendly Tavern. And they were friendly. We wanted to do takeout. They didn't have takeout stuff. They didn't have, like, takeout boxes or bags. So he's like, do you mind eating here?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we'll eat here. Because we were all, like, we had been swimming all day and up at the lake and everything. So we were just kind of, like, all funked out and sandy. But we went in and ate. We had really good pizza. Okay, you know, solid pizza. Yeah. The pizza was perfectly acceptable. We're Jersey pizza snobs. Everybody knows that.
Acceptable.
I had a really nice BLT.
Boys had burgers, of course. They
boys had
burgers.
All the food was totally good. The service was friendly. It was a nice, cozy tavern environment. We also had a really nice lunch at Tiffany's Cafe. Now, within Tiffany's Cafe, so Tiffany's Cafe is like ice cream and coffee and all that stuff. Now, when you go into Tiffany's Cafe, if you hang a little right, there's like another room, and they have the Little Finger Eatery. So they're like side by side.
But then you like order at the Little Finger Eatery, and then they tell you to go pay. The whole thing's a little...
Yeah, you got to go wait in line with all the people who are just like getting coffee and stuff. But there was good coffee and snacks and cookies and ice cream in the cafe part. And then Little Finger Eatery had very good sandwiches. My Reuben was excellent.
Yeah, and the boys had like a turkey sandwich. We just got a quick lunch there one day before we were doing a program at the Mean Visitor Center, I think. So it was just an easy spot for us in the middle of the day. We didn't really have time to kind of go back to the campground or whatever. So it was fine. But then one of the highlights for the boys, we double dipped in this one.
The Grocer's Daughter Chocolate. This is like a chocolate house. I mean, they do chocolate. They do fudge pops. They do brownies. They do cookies. They do exquisite chocolates. And so one of our friends said, you got to go. We heard we were in Sleeping Bear. He's like, you got to get chocolate here. And the fudge pops are great. So we went in and we got all of
fudgesicles.
Us got fudgesicles. Mm-hmm. And we all got one. They were like $1.50 each. And they were more like cubes. They weren't gigantic.
It's like solid chocolate.
They were delicious.
It's just cold chocolate.
And then so we did an encore of that a second time. We went back and mommy waited in the car for whatever reason, maybe because we had Maggie with us. And the boys also ate a brownie, which I don't know if mommy knew about.
I did, because they came back and they gave me the report. They said it was delicious.
And there's chocolate smeared all over their faces.
So
this is like a really cute, charming, you know, awesome place you don't want to miss if you're staying at the Platte River Campground, because it's only like 8-9 miles away on your way right into Empire, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just a couple of little charming wins there for you.
So there's so much more to say. There's so much more to cover, but we're going to do that on the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast this week. We're going to cover everything that we did in Sleeping Bear Dunes. So that was our, you know, quick review of the Platte River Campground, some food options nearby. We need to thank our sponsors. We need to thank Jayco RV. We need to thank Jayco RV. To view their complete line of RVs, visit them at jayco.com. All the 2017 models are up on their website. And we also need to thank our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Absolutely. And this is RV Travel Tips, which is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Before you pack up your RV, grab that lint out of the dryer and stuff it into an empty toilet paper roll for a quick and easy fire starter. Just another way Progressive has you covered while you're out on the road.
They work.
Yeah. You know,
we
should have the boys do that.
We should sell lint.
We should sell lint. Oh my God.
We should do like a little lint repurposing business. The toilet paper rolls.
Knew.
We have lots of lint and lots of toilet paper rolls.
Both of those things, laundry and toilet paper.
Stephanie has had a little bit of a hard time on these two big summer trips with boys in the bathroom.
I don't want to talk about it right now. All right. We'll talk about it another time.
Yeah, so listen, join us for the big episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm really excited to put that episode together all about Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. What a great trip through the Midwest, and what a great trip to Michigan. It was so nice to be back in Michigan.
All right, but until then, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.